If you're new or visiting with us today, I'm Pastor Bert, and I want to welcome you as we introduce this month our theme for the year of Grow. Throughout 2025, we're going to discover many different ways, different areas that we can and should grow, not just this year, but every day. As followers of Jesus Christ, both in life and in godliness. And I say that because even if you don't yet consider yourself a follower of Jesus, there will be a lot of good, plain, common sense ideas to help you grow as a person as well. Maybe, though, this is an area where you can grow in yourself this year, in starting to attend here on Sundays, just so you can grow in your understanding of who God is and what he's done for you, and just learning what this Bible and God and Jesus and what this is all about. You know, there'll be some small group Bible studies that are starting up this month and into next month. And these are great places for you to just go ask questions and to learn and to meet some other like-minded folks. Just people that you can build relationships with. Oh, and one other thing. Last week, though, we also handed out a tool to help remind you of our theme for this year whenever you have access to it, as well as to help you share about who Jesus is and what he's done. And that tool is a ruler to help you keep track of how much you're growing. Sorry. I like that one. But on it is the Romans Road. And the Romans Road is a list of scriptures written by the early church leader named Paul to the Roman church, the church in Rome. And there's a number of them that just explain really clearly who Jesus is and what he's done. And so that's a tool there that has helped millions of Christ followers share the good news of Jesus with others. And so I want you to have that and have it handy, either in your purse, in a pocket, in your vehicle, so that you can have that tool ready when the opportunities come. And as you prepare, I know opportunities do come, because God also wants his kingdom to grow. And it will. He said, I will build my church. So again, if you're new or missed last week, please take one on your way out. The ushers and greeters would be happy to help you with that, because they're a happy bunch. So, now, last week, we took a look at five ways that Paul told the church that was in Ephesus, Greece at that time, how they needed to grow as followers of Jesus Christ. And our text was from Ephesians 4, 11 to 16, and we learned that each of the points are actually still relevant to Jesus' church today, to you and me, to every one of us, to help us to grow. He talked about growing in service, in faith, in maturity, in how we talk, how we speak to one another, and how to grow in our relationship with Jesus. For the next 2 weeks, today and next week, we're going to focus on Paul's first point, and that's the aspect or the area of service, of serving one another. One of Jesus' followers, Matthew, recorded Jesus teaching this principle. Jesus said, whoever wants to become great must be a servant of others. So Jesus said that greatness, having a great life, doing great things, and service go together. Last week, we looked at how great teachers serve their students, how great salespeople serve their customers, and how great leaders serve their followers. So the key to being great in anything is service. Why? Because it's God's way. It's what Jesus did. So unless I learn how to serve others, I will never grow to become more like Jesus. So today we're going to motor through 12 reasons. I know if you've looked at your outline, you're going, oh man, I won't be out of here until dinner, but don't worry about it. We're going to just motor right through them. But 12 reasons why God says that you should give your life in service to help other people. Why service should define your career, your hobbies, and everything in your life. God says the priority in your life after getting to know him should be to serve other people. Now, you may think that a dozen points is really long, and you'd be right. So I've decided next week my message will be pointless. That did not come out right. You'll have to just come and find out what happens, I guess. Anyways, let's get into our 12 reasons why I should grow in service to God and to others. The very first reason is because I was created for service. God made you for that purpose. He made me for it. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, "It is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others." God designed everything in this universe, on this planet, for a purpose. He made dogs to be dogs, right? They're very relational, they're protective, they're fun. He made bees to pollinate plants. And a wonderful byproduct of that is we get to enjoy the honey, right? And he made cows to be delicious. I love Alberta. Anyways, the Bible says everything, including you, was put on this earth for a reason, for a purpose. People are here to serve God and each other and to make the world a better place. In the Bible's book of origins called Genesis, it says that God created people to be stewards of the earth and everything on it. That includes you and me. It says this, "Then God said, let us make humanity in our image to resemble us so that they may take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all the crawling things on earth." So God said, I made you for service, to help other people, to take care of this planet and everything on it, right? So why should I grow in service this year? Because God says I was created for service. And similarly, number two, I am chosen for service. Chosen. In a letter Paul wrote to one of his young apprentice pastors named Timothy, he says this, "It is God who saved us and chose us for his holy work." What is holy work? The biblical word for this is what we know and call ministry, right? It's ministry. What's another word for ministry? Service. Service. Anytime you see the word service in the Bible, it's the same word. Every time you see the word ministry in the English translation of the Bible, in the Hebrew or in the Greek, it's the same word. The two are synonymous. Ministry is service, and service is ministry. The Bible says you were chosen by God for service. God didn't just put you on this earth to take up space, sit around, eat, sleep, and then die. Have you ever wondered why the moment you put your faith in Jesus, God didn't just zap you and take you home to be with him? Ever wonder that? Some of you wish he did. Right? If our goal is heaven, why does God leave us here? Because he has things for us to do. We have a mission. Those things are your ministry, your service. We're here for a reason. We've been chosen for service. I told you we're going through these quickly. Number three, another reason is because we've been called to service. We've been called to serve. So not only am I created for service, not only am I chosen for it, I've been called by God to serve. It makes it personal. You know, the idea of being called by God, I used to think it was some super special thing that saved only for the greats of the faith, right? For those that we might look up to, like missionaries like Gil's doing or even pastoring. I thought that until I became one. because I realized that if I can become a pastor, anybody can be a serve, is called to serve. The fact is, the Bible says every follower of Jesus is called. We're all called. The Bible says the call to salvation and the call to service are not two separate callings. The moment you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin and become the leader of your life, you're saying, I no longer want to live for me. I am choosing to serve your purposes for my life, Lord. Salvation and service are not indistinguishable. If you are a Christian, if you follow Jesus, you are called to minister. You are called to service. Not everybody's a pastor, but everybody is a minister. Pastoring is just the gift that I've been given to help serve you. I have, you know, thought that we ought to print up business cards for everybody in the church. Have your name on it and underneath, servant or minister of Jesus Christ. But actually, Paul told the church in Corinth, in Greece, that our lives are actually supposed to be our business cards. He said, in everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. In everything we do. Every follower of Christ is called to serve. So the fourth reason as to why I should grow in service is because I am competent for service. Some of you right away, as soon as you heard that word, you went, well, no, okay, that leaves me out. I get to skip this one because I'm not. You are. You are competent. God did not give you your talents just for you, for yourself. The things you can do, they're not just for you to improve your life. He gave you abilities. He gave you talents. He gave you education, understanding to help other people. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth again. He said, he, meaning God, has made us competent as ministers. And Peter, who's probably the most well-known follower of Jesus, also wrote about this to the early church. He said, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them. What? To make a lot of money? No, doesn't say that. Be sure to use your abilities to climb that corporate ladder. No. It's not to impress anybody else. It says, be sure to use your abilities to help others, right? Help each other. The Bible says that God gave you your abilities, gave you your talents for you to use to help others grow. That means that God has made you competent for serving others. He's given you a gift, an ability, a talent that's specifically designed for you, fits with your personality, who you are, to help and serve other people. You are competent for service. I can't remember who it was, Dickens or somebody, who said that everybody has a bestseller in them because every one of us is an expert in something. We may not know it or even recognize it, but we are because God has made us competent to serve one another. All right, next. Number five, are we on number five? Yes, commanded to serve. We're commanded to serve. You know, all these other points don't matter. This one is enough, right? We are commanded to serve. If God says do it, we do it. Jesus declared, your attitude must be like my own. For I did not come to be served, but to serve. That word must tells me, folks, it's not an option. This is in the same conversation that we looked at earlier, that Jesus was having with his followers that at the beginning of this message. Remember when they were trying to say, who's going to be the greatest, you know, follower of yours? Which one of us is the greatest and going to be the greatest in the kingdom? And he said the greatest person is the one who's the greatest servant. Service for the follower of Jesus is not optional. Our fallen human nature does not want to serve others. We want it to be about us, right? It's all about me. I want to be served. What do you mean I have to serve others? I need to be served, right? It's all about me, my needs, my wants, my demands. When I look through or look at life through the lens of selfishness, I say, who's going to meet my needs? Who's going to help me? Who's going to heal my hurts? Who's going to give to me? Right? It's all about me. But when Jesus comes into your life, something flips. All of it gets turned upside down. And we start to ask, who can I help? Whose needs can I meet? Who can I help? Who can I serve? If you're still in the who's going to meet my needs stage, Paul just says, you haven't grown up yet. You need to grow up. As a pastor, I hear this from time to time, different aspects of this. Well, pastor, you're not just feeding me anymore, so I'm leaving. You're not meeting my needs, so I'm leaving. I have a hard time nursing someone who's supposed to be grown up, though. And it seems that Paul felt the same way about some of the people that were in the church at Corinth at that time. Listen to what he wrote. He said, I'm completely frustrated by your unspiritual dealings with each other and with God. You're acting like infants in relation to Christ, capable of nothing much more than nursing at the breast. As long as you grab for what makes you feel good or makes you look important, are you really much different than a babe at the breast, content only when everything's going your way? Paul says, if your life is still all about you, about your needs, you need to grow up. The mature person says, whose needs can I meet? Because they realize, the more I give my life away, the more God pours into me. The more he blesses me, the more he uses me. When I care for the needs of other people, God takes care of my needs. Next, number six. It confirms my connection to the Savior. Serving confirms my connection to the Savior. Now, I don't know if this is true. I've read this somewhere, that in the early church, when they would welcome new believers, new followers into the family of God, they would say, welcome. Jesus Christ now has a new pair of eyes to see with. He has a new pair of ears to listen to the hurts of others. Jesus has a new pair of hands to help others and a new heart to love others with. Isn't that good? I don't know if it's true, but I like it. Paul wrote to the church in Rome, you are part of the body of Christ and you belong to him. In order that we might be useful in the service of God. Ministry, service, not attendance at church, is evidence that Christ is in you. And you're in him. And you're a part of his body, the church. Which ties in with the next point, that the church needs my service. You're needed. You're part of the body of Jesus Christ, the family of God. And that makes you necessary. What happens in your life, what happens in your life when one part of your body is not working? Let's say your liver. Does that affect you at all if your liver is not working? Yeah, it can be dangerous, deadly, right? When one part of the body is not working right, it affects the whole body, right? It affects our whole life. And the same is true in the church. When one person is not doing their part, when one part of Christ's body is not doing their part, it's not functioning right, it makes the rest of us sick and tired. That may have came out a little bit different than I thought. But the reason is the rest of the body becomes sick because now it's having to support and function in areas it wasn't meant to fill in for the gap that you're leaving. Something that God designed you to do. It makes an unhealthy body, an unhealthy church. When I pulled my hamstring, the muscles, I pulled my left hamstring, but you know where I felt it the most after about a week? Was in the right side of my back. It was so sore. I'm like, why is my back sore? I go to the chiropractor. Well, because your back is compensating for your leg, not supporting what it should be supporting. So now your back has to support that part, all that weight. Each part of the body affects every other part. When one's not working, others have to compensate for that one part. The church needs your service. Number 8, serving others corresponds to serving God. Now, I'm not sure if you noticed this yet, but Paul had a lot to say about serving in the early church. I want you to listen to what he wrote to the church in Colossae, which is in modern-day Turkey. He said, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. It's the Lord you're serving." And this lines right up with what Jesus himself said in Matthew 25. "Whenever you did it for the least of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me. And whenever you failed to help any of my people, you failed to do it for me." So Jesus said, if I'm not serving others, I'm not serving him. The 9th reason I need to grow in service is because I am a creditor to Christ. Jesus the Savior sacrificed his life for me. And even if he never did anything else in my life for me, I owe him big time. I owe him my life. I don't serve God out of duty. I don't serve him out of fear or out of guilt. I serve God out of gratitude for what he's done. Paul wrote to the church in Rome, "Because of God's great mercy to us, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service." I owe my life to Jesus. All my sins are forgiven. I'm going to live forever in eternity with him because of him, not because of anything I could ever do. And since he's given me the ability to do things for him right now in the present, I want to serve him out of gratitude for what he's done for me. I owe him my life. I'm a creditor to Christ. Reason number 10, service actually gives me a life of consequence. A life of consequence. Here's the thing. You're going to give your life for something. You're going to give it to something, right? Some people give their life for their career. And at the end, if they're lucky, they get a gold watch. Whoopee ding dong. Right? Big deal. Jesus said, those who want to save their lives will give up true life. But those who give up their lives for me and for the good news will have true life. You're going to give your life for something. The question is, are you going to give your life for the right thing? When you die, will your life have mattered at all? Everybody is trying to figure out how to live longer. You see it all the time on YouTube, on TikTok, on everything, Instagram. But that's not the real issue. It's not how long you live that matters. It's how you live that matters. It's not the duration of your life. It's the donation of your life. As the great Scottish freedom fighter, William Wallace declared, "Everyone dies, not everyone really lives." Folks, there's no fulfillment in only living for yourself. I see it on Instagram all the time. Young urban professionals we used to call yuppies, remember? Some of you remember that? They're on there talking to their phone, lamenting that they've made all the success. They've done everything they ever hoped they could do. But they've got nobody to share it with. They're alone. They only served themselves, and now that's the only person they have in their life. But when you start to follow God's plan for your life, and you start serving Him by serving others, it brings fulfillment, it brings fun into your life, and it brings friends. It brings friends, folks. That's reason number 10. Number 11, I serve because I'll be held accountable for my life. Okay, I admit, this is kind of stretching that C alliteration we've been working with through this whole thing, right? I put the A there for you, but you fill in the rest, starting with the C, the two C's. Seeing as I'm almost done, I sure hope you'll cut me some slack on that one, but I will be accountable for my service. Paul wrote to the church in Rome again. He said, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Give an account for how we lived. One day, I'm going to stand before God, and I imagine He'll ask me two questions. Did you ask Jesus to be your Savior and the leader of your life? And secondly, I think you'll probably ask something like, did you use what I gave you to serve others? That talent, that ability, did you use it to help anybody else? Or was it just for you? What did you do with what I gave you? That's actually the lesson that Jesus taught His followers one day. It's called the parable of the talents. Parable is a moral object lesson. But Jesus here talked about a master giving money called talents in those days, which I think is kind of ironic, to three servants, right? Kind of coincidental that money back then was called talents. He gave each servant some talents and expected a return on what he'd given them. It says that one day he called the servants to give an account for what they did with their talents. One of them, it says, did nothing and was punished. The other two used their talents and multiplied them for their master. Listen to what Jesus said was the master's response to the two faithful servants. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." I will be accountable one day for how I used what God's given me. There's one more reason why I need to grow in giving my life away in service to others besides these. We're on our last one. As I said, we've got 12 of them, and you're all breathing a sigh of relief that we're on number 12 now. But number 12 is actually mentioned in this verse that Jesus, in Jesus' parable, "I will put you in charge of many things," he says. And that means I will be compensated for my service. I will be compensated. I will be rewarded. John was perhaps Jesus' closest friend and follower, from what we can find in Scripture, who recorded him saying, "My Father will honor anyone who serves me." Quoting Jesus, he said that, right? I will honor or he will honor anyone who serves Jesus. So God's planning a party in heaven, a party for eternity, and you are invited. And it's going to last a long, long time, forever. Every service we do unto people for Jesus, great and small, it says, will be honored. It'll be honored. But only if we accept his invitation to the party. How do you accept his invitation? By inviting him into our lives as our Savior, as the leader. And John also recorded these next words that Jesus spoke. Jesus said, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." Jesus wants to be invited into your life. He wants it to be a relationship. That's why he doesn't force himself in. Don't know if you thought of it that way. But he wants to come into your life, not to, you know, some people think, oh, it's going to ruin my life. I'm having so much fun, whatever. No. He wants to give you the best life you ever dreamed of. The little stuff that you're maybe playing with that you think is fun is nothing compared to what he has to offer. Nothing compared. And it's the only way to experience a great, full, satisfying life. And it's if you invite the author of life himself to take over your life, so that you can start living his way, the way he created you to live, by serving others just like he did. If you're ready to take the step today, I'm going to lead you in a brief prayer to God. Thank you, Pat. You can just pray along silently with me. God will hear your prayer. He will accept you because he already knows what's in your heart. So if we could all just bow our heads together at this time, I'm going to lead you in a short prayer. But if you're going to be praying with me to ask Jesus into your life for the first time, could you quickly please just let me know who I'll be praying with in a moment just by raising your hand quickly? Thank you. Let's pray. Dear God, I know I've been so wrapped up in my own life, my own plans, that I've actually missed the most important thing, and that's you. Jesus, I do want to be more like you. I want to live a great life, a life of impact, a life that counts, a life that actually means something. It means something to others, means something to you. Jesus, I want to thank you for giving your life away for me. I am sorry for living my own way, and I ask for your forgiveness for that. And I ask for your help in living in the way that you want me to from now on. I want you to be the leader of my life right now and forever. Please help me to find a place of service and ministry in your church where I can serve you by serving others. And thanks, God, for making the rest of my life the best of my life, and for accepting me into your forever family today. I thank you for this, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ask the rest of the band to come back, and you prayed that simple prayer from your heart. As I said, God heard you, and welcome to the family. I do ask one thing, if you could fill in a connect card for me. I do have some resources to give you. They're in the seat in front of you, or they're linked to the video stream online. And I'd love to provide those resources to help you as you start your new life with Jesus, and to come alongside you as your new church to just help you in life things, stuff that you may need help with. Again, I want to mention as you leave, those who weren't here last week, take a ruler to remind you of our theme and to help you share your faith in Jesus with others. And I also hope to see you here tonight. We're going to continue our month of prayer and fasting on Sundays. Tonight we're going to discover how we're going to pray for families specifically. So if you have a family and you want prayer for your family in whatever ways, whether they're grown up, whether they're little, whether they're still coming, we want to pray for you. We're going to take time right at the beginning of our service, our time tonight, our prayer service, to pray specifically for you and to pray God's blessing on your life through this year and the issues that maybe you're having or experiencing in your family. We want to pray into that tonight. So we're going to pray for you right off the bat so that if you have little ones, you don't have to stay all night, and then you can head on if you need to. But also, both Donna and Janie will be here to help with the kids and take them into the other room for those that want to stay after that, okay? So I really encourage you, if you've got young ones, to stay tonight so we can pray and bless them in the name of Jesus. And next week, as I said, we're going to continue in this theme of service. And so today was why we should grow. Next week will be how we can grow in service. So I hope to see you then.